I'm Katie.
And I'm Steve, and this is the City of Reading Podcast. As we discussed with City Manager Barry Tippin at the end of 2023, there are a number of retirements at the director level. Today, we sit down with new Community Services Director Travis Menny to discuss his background and qualifications, as well as his hopes and plans for the department under his leadership.
With over $40 million in capital projects in the works, from the new bike park in Caldwell Park, Shastina Ranch Park, Panorama Park, and South City Park, just to name a few, there is no shortage of work projects. Travis talks about how his years working under the former Community Services Director helped prepare him for his role, and why relationships and community partners are so important to his success.
There's a lot of new and fresh energy at the city, and Travis is excited about his role in the future of the Reading Parks and Trail System in Reading.
So my name is Travis Menny. I am the Director of Community Services for the City of Reading. In that position, you know, the department oversees the construction and maintenance of parks, trails, open space, building maintenance, the library system, as well as the communications team, which puts out great podcasts. And all of the recreation programming for the city. So that's things like at the pool, sports programs, a lot of special events. So we handle a lot of the community-based functions for the City of Reading.
Well, welcome, Travis. We have had you on the podcast before because, as many people may not know, you aren't new to the city. You were promoted from within and you took over former Community Services Director Kim Niemer. You worked underneath her for 7 years prior to being promoted to director. So maybe you could just start and tell us a little bit about what your previous role was and how did it prepare you to be the director now?
Prior to being director, I was responsible for a lot of grant-funded work, either through programs or construction throughout the city. So parks, trail, open space projects. So things like the Caldwell Skate Park, Northeast Crossing Trail, a lot of the mountain bike trails we've been building throughout the city. Projects that we have coming up, like the Panorama Park project, being involved in writing grants for South City Park project, things like that. So just heavily focused on bringing in outside funding for projects that benefit the community as the community projects manager. And then a lot of program-based stuff that we had done in the past, like we used to do the Energy Saving Trees program, and we did a lot of restoration activity post-fire, things like that.
And Travis, I'm curious too. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you might have a slightly skewed answer on this, but what are your thoughts on the advantage of hiring someone like yourself from within who has that institutional knowledge, who's been here for, you know, for 7 years working day in and day out on these initiatives and kind of ready to take the helm versus bringing in someone from the outside view, a non-city employee who might, you know, have a different perspective and different ideas? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, certainly you can make both models work. The advantage of having been here and been ingrained in the work is that a lot of what we do is based on partnerships and using our network of partners, you know, whether that's, you know, community nonprofits or other interest groups or even state agencies to be able to, you know, we can make a really good case for a grant application and we have a good relationship and we've delivered for an agency. So they kind of understand what they're going to get with the City of Reading. And so being able to, you know, use those relationships to kind of further community goals, I think is really valuable. And that's one of the key ways that, you know, coming up from inside the organization is going to help. And then just having a lot of history, you know, we've got a lot of why things are the way they are, you know, trial and error, and then knowing all of the players to be able to call and say, hey, I need help with this. What's the history on that? I mean, I routinely make phone calls about what happened in the 80s and 90s or, you know, whatever, based on like my predecessor or people that have been with the city for a long time. That kind of history is really valuable because it kind of tells you how we got to where we are. I mean, the city is old, so it's nice to be able to go back and look how we evolved and shaped the community and got to this point.
I feel like this question kind of ties into your last answer, but because obviously if relationships and already being invested in the community is part of your experience that has helped make you successful, are there any other experiences or educational qualifications that make you uniquely suited for this role?
So certainly having a lot of grant experience working with nonprofits and community groups, a lot of experience working with, you know, other agencies. So we have a lot of partners in the community that, you know, maybe the Bureau of Land Management or you know, other Bureau of Reclamation, Whiskey Town, you know, groups that we've worked with over the years. So it's nice to have that experience, you know, having done projects with them and you're kind of a known quantity at that point. So that's very key to being able to accomplish things, because some of this intergovernmental, you know, relationships can be difficult because we have different processes than maybe the Bureau of Land Management, but we can come together and partner on a project and get things done between, you know, them and a few nonprofits like the Reading Trail Alliance and McConnell Foundation, and do something, you know, awesome together, like the Lower Salt Creek Trails. That, you know, that kind of stuff is just key to be able to be successful. And it goes back to having come from within and be able to use those relationships to kind of further the community goals. In my background, to get to where I am today, prior to working for the city of Reading, I actually was involved in a lot of national park construction and maintenance projects. I actually did 2 years working in places like Yosemite and Crater Lake and Lewis and Clark National Monument and a bunch of other parks or monuments on the West Coast. And that gave me a lot of experience working in kind of the big setting of parks and doing construction and working a lot more with the public and people who are, you know, looking to recreate, and you're kind of working around them and trying to meet the needs of, you know, the park and all the players. So it was a interesting experience, but that's kind of where I got my passion to start working in parks. And I think that was a kind of a great lead into my previous position with construction and parks. And then over the years, working under Kim Niemer really, you know, opens your eyes. There's a lot more to it than just parks and construction. And like I said, it really is relationship based. And that's a skill set too, keeping those relationships, nurturing them, building them, all of that sort of thing. So I think that's probably about the best training you can get to do this job.
Well, and on those relationships too, Travis, you know, this role is a director both for city staff overseeing the recreation staff and the park staff and others, as well as a leader in the community. How do you define your leadership style?
I am pretty laid back. You know, I like to, I'd say, lead from the back. I like to see others excited and passionate about their work. I think the best product you can get is from someone who thoroughly enjoys what they do and has a passion to deliver that. You know, I felt like I got that in my previous role, where essentially it's like, go find some business and go get it funded. And we're going to get to work on something that you're excited about, like whether it's a trail project or the bike park or the skate park, like being internally motivated and then having other people boost you up to do that work. I think you get a much better product versus like, here's what you're going to do today, you know, make it happen. So if your interests don't align with that, sometimes that's really difficult. So I really want our staff to know that we want them to fulfill their workplace goals. And so that's kind of what I stress here, fulfillment.
This is an exciting time for the city because, you know, there has been a lot of turnover at the director level just due to retirements. And so there's a lot of fresh and new energy in the upper management and in the city ranks. But that also means that a lot of institutional knowledge has also walked out the door. So how are you balancing kind of this new fresh energy that's in this director level group with just the amount of knowledge that's going to need to be kind of rebuilt?
Yeah, you know, that can be tough. It's certainly not impossible. Everyone that was a director before, you know, this new generation also had to do that same thing. So I know we'll get back to that level. We're hiring great new people, and I think that they all show a lot of promise. So I'm excited about that, me being one of them. But we have great relationships too with our predecessors, and those predecessors were great people, and they're still committed to the city. I mean, the offer of, hey, call me anytime, and they mean it. It's a great place to work, and they're still, you know, happy to help. And I just think that kind of speaks to the organization and how, you know, over the years we've made it this place where people really are committed to the work and the community, and they really still want to see the best for the city and the organization. So I think that goes a long way to be able to continue to provide this stuff. And I can pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, what happened back in 2007 during this situation? I think that's really key to be able to do that. But you know, we're going to make our own new paths in some places, and it's nice to be able to have that history. But in some places, you know, we're going to take new turns and do new things. And I think that's just an exciting time for the city to be able to start making some changes, especially as we have, you know, a whole new kind of cohort coming in. You know, exciting things are going to happen.
In this role as community services director, inevitably there'll be some decisions that, you know, some community members may disagree with you on, and and you have to really have tough skin in this role and make those tough decisions. How are you, I guess, preparing for that? And what are your thoughts on that when kind of push comes to shove and you have to, you know, at times make some decisions that might not make you the most popular or be the most popular in the community?
So we're going to make decisions that sometimes are just for the best for the community. And that might be 90% of people. It might be 80% of people. It might be 100%. There's always, you know, inevitably there's going to be a group that's dissatisfied. We don't want anyone to feel alienated in our decision making. So sometimes there's going to be things that are just for the greater good. And it may not be the decision that I would, you know, personally make if removing myself outside this role. It might affect me personally as a community member, but we're going to have to make decisions that sometimes are tough. And so, you know, I have to remember not to take that stuff personally as a staff person here, because sometimes there are issues and, you know, you have to be able to sleep well with your decision. And that's really tough at times, but we put in good analysis and we have great staff and we make our best recommendation as industry experts. And then you also have, you know, a city council that gets to make decisions as well. And so all you can do is really put in your best effort and do the work, you know, which is bringing in the groups, talking to the people, distilling that down and understanding what, you know, where everyone comes from. We don't target and alienate and things like that. We just try to stay as objective as we can and then use our training and our background and our experience, you know, in local history to be able to make wise decisions. And, you know, inevitably that's going to ruffle some feathers. But like I said, if we put in the work and we're fair and we're honest, we're going to be able to sleep well with that decision.
And what big projects are coming up for the community services department that you're most excited about in this coming year?
We have a giant list of work right now in the community services department, probably more so. I mean, definitely more so than in the last 7 years. And, you know, with the exception of maybe back in the days of Big League Dreams and redoing the aquatic center and building a soccer park, I don't think we've had as much work at one time as we do right now. So I think we've got about $40 million worth of work in this department. And we still have a lot of requests hanging out there, so potentially grow. But we have currently two parks under construction. One is the Whistle Stop Park downtown, as well as a Shastina Ranch Park, which is over off Airport Road in Shasta View area. So those are actively under construction. We also have two large design projects underway, which are Caldwell Park and Panorama Park, as well as one that we're getting ready to recommend a consultant to City Council to design the South City Park reactivation plan project that we took to council and did a lot of community work to come up with that plan. So we have a few grant requests out for that, but we'll get started on the design for that in 2024. We also did a lot of playground replacements over the last year. We have a few more to do there, and we have several trail projects under construction or in planning. So we have trail projects like the Canyon Hollow Trails. We have the Orton Gulch Trail planning process. So I think we just came up with a trail plan for like 6 miles of trails out at our Orton Gulch property, which is just south of the Country Heights neighborhood. We also have plan documents being generated for interior exterior remodel of the Martin Luther King Jr. Center, and we just replaced the playground there as well. We also have the Caldwell Park project coming up in the future, working out a little bit of a scope change with that, hopefully prioritizing things like the bike park and the skate park and making sure that we're delivering on what the largest, you know, requests were when we did the public outreach. So that was the one that we already built the skate park. We have a bunch of improvements to Caldwell Park to do, as well as building the Reading Bike Park next to Caldwell Park. So I think that's going to be huge for the community. The Trail Alliance has already been out there building the pump track, and they've agreed to take that on as a help for the project. It's a huge, huge help, both monetarily for the budget and for the community, because it allows us to kind of sit there and play with that track to be able to really meet the community need versus, you know, getting a kind of a cookie cutter one from another company. So we're really happy with that. And it's going to allow us to have our own unique flavor. And that's what we're going for with the bike park. We're not going to have the biggest, you know, best bike park. This isn't going to be, you know, worldwide destination, but it's going to meet the needs of the community really, really well. And we're going to be able to tweak that by partnering with people that really understand what people want to ride here in the community. So I'm excited to start that one. I think that's probably going to be the biggest, quickest project that we get to in terms of these large capital projects. And then South City and Panorama Park are going to be huge and transformative. So those are going to be really, really awesome projects. I think we're going to have some big community wins over the next few years.
Sounds like there's no shortage of work to be done, which and sounds like it's a really exciting time. I'm wondering, Travis, on the list of projects you just mentioned for the next few years, how are those prioritized? Is it based on which projects you can get funding for, whether that's budgetary funding or grant funding? Is it part of a strategic plan where you're going and kind of selectively choosing which ones need to be addressed at which time? Is it community input on, you know, surveys and other things that, you know, to find areas of need within the community? How, and because some of those projects are so massive, how are you prioritizing which projects get done when?
It's a little tricky. So we come up with a giant list of potential projects. And we use things like our Parks Master Plan, our Community Services Action Plan, and, you know, other things that we know that we have big need for. So we know we need, you know, X amount of playground replacements. What you have to do is have these things on a list ready to go and then be open on the other side to what funding comes available. So you may see, oh, we have, you know, a priority to build this trail here, but there's a funding source that says, oh, we really want to work in communities with demographics and, you know, income statistics that look more like this. So you might have to divert your priority to another project because you want to take advantage of a funding source. So what we've tried to do is, as we see these big funding sources come out, where Proposition 68 was a huge boon for the city to be able to capitalize on what they call the parks bond funding, we'll see a program come out and we'll take three or four potential projects that we know are on our list of things that we need to get done. And we're looking at, you know, Caldwell Park versus South City Park versus Enterprise Park versus Panorama Park, and then trying to figure out which one of these is the most likely to get funded versus we have one park project and we're going to just like try to get funding. Grant programs will tell you the project they want to fund. So you need to have like this whole arsenal of projects that you can throw out there. So if we have that deep bench of things to pick from, we can much more readily find funding for them. If we have things well conceived and thought out and kind of understand what those projects would be, and we've done the work to kind of work with the community, and then we can find some program that it fits really well in. And those are the ones that are much more successful. When we have something that, you know, they'll tell, like I said, they'll tell you what they want to fund. And if you have something you're like, oh yeah, we can meet that, and here's the project, it might be number two or three on your list, but you have to take advantage of that funding. If you don't want to use city resources, you want to bring something from outside. And that's what we've been really successful. I mean, our $40+ million worth of work is predominantly grant funded. So we can use our internal funding and leverage that into getting additional funding from the state. So we've been really successful with that. And a lot of that's just looking at what those projects could potentially be and finding programs that fit them.
Okay, so Travis, based on the, you know, the amount of work that's going on and all these exciting community projects and kind of what just you just talked about, you know, trying to balance, how do you make sure that some projects stay on track or their timeline or they're grant funded, and you might have to like shift some things around or move some things around depending on how, you know, the grant's going. What does success look like for you? Like in this year, 2024, by the end of it, what does success look like for you?
End of 2024. So the reason I love this job and the reason I love my old job is because we have the skill set to be able to like empower these community groups to achieve their dreams. And so when I do something like open up the skate park and I can see all these skateboarders that have been just dreaming of a new skate park for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, it's super fulfilling. And so success to me looks like that smile that people will get when we open something up. When you go open up the Reading Bike Park, like the amount of community enjoyment is going to be crazy. And that is what success looks like. So having these projects, getting them out from my department and into Public Works for construction, Once we hit that stage and we get a contractor on board, at that moment, I get really excited because we have a little bit of decision making left to do. There's some stuff to do, but when it's in construction, that's when it feels great. And then once you do that, you know, ribbon cutting or party or whatever, and, you know, there's a speech or, you know, there's music and like the thing becomes alive, that is so fulfilling. So that's what success looks like. And we've got our videographer out there and we put something on Instagram and everyone's just so, you know, everything's vibrating and they're excited. And yeah, that's what we do it for. So that's what success looks like.
Trev, again, talking about some of these exciting large-scale projects, how do you balance your short-term goals with this long-term vision for the city with these, you know, some of these larger-scale projects? I'm sure, you know, the day-to-day is still present. There's still smaller wins to be had while at the same time, you know, striving towards some of these large projects to be completed. How do you balance those two things?
We have a broad range of timelines that we work with. We have short-term goals, medium-term goals, long-term goals. So there's things that we're working on that we might not build for 20 years, but we're going to think about how does this really work and then be able to identify opportunities. So we're constantly moving the needle on something, whether it's moving the needle on a short-term project that we know, you know, we're going to do this in a week or two, or whether it's something that, okay, 20 years from now, this piece of land or this easement or you know, this study or facility is going to be really key to the city, because we have to plan in perpetuity. So we have to think about how, you know, some of these small wins have really like this ripple effect that goes way out into the future. So when I think about, I'm going to go try to build a trail here and I really need this easement. And then I talk to, you know, the project manager from, you know, 20 years ago, and say, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. And he might say, oh, we've got that easement. Go check this file, whatever. We kind of have to set ourselves up for that. So we're constantly trying to think of, you know, short, medium, long term, and balance those. So really, it's just about envisioning the future and what's going to be important, because there might be decisions we make in a development project today where, you know, they're going to build a neighborhood and we see some open space and, you know, okay, what if someone wants to build a trail there? Like, we can conceptualize some connection and think about what it would be like to be in this neighborhood and where they could potentially go. And we're going to, you know, try to reserve an easement here. And, you know, maybe it doesn't work today, but 20 years from now, that might work. And so we really have to think about community needs that maybe aren't present today. And I think that's what we do really well with, because we do a lot of planning exercises and we do kind of sometimes just sit and envision the future and just talk about things like that. So that's a really strong facet of this department, is trying to think about things that may not be present today, but may be useful in the future, because that's the kind of community we want to live in. So we may not be able to build it right now, but we're going to work toward that. I think the balance part is really just knowing about what decisions we can make today that affect that future, but we're still moving our stuff along. So maybe an event or a trail project or a whatever now. And sometimes, you know, the Buena Ventura trail starts small and narrow, but we had a future vision to make it, you know, wider and more robust and things like that. So you kind of keep working toward these things. And that takes a long time. It takes a lot of continuity and it takes a lot of, you know, foresight and relying on history and staff and having good team members that can kind of carry those visions on into the future. But I think we've really excelled with that and we will continue to excel with that. We're in a little bit of a rebuild mode here in the department. We had a few retirements. We had some staff departures, but we are rebuilding some of that. I think we're going to get great people on the team that want to work toward those long-term goals and have great vision. And I'm excited about that.
Well, Travis, I think that kind of covers everything that we had to talk about today. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on or make sure that you talked about?
I think, in general, the city is on the cusp of many, many great and amazing things. We've got the Riverfront specific plan going. We're redoing the general plan. We've got tons and tons of work. We've got all this whole new team coming in. You know, we've got endless possibility. And I'm mystified that I'm going to, you know, get to be part of it at that level. I think that we have this super bright future and we're great now, but who knows where we'll be in 10 years. Like, we really, really have a lot of potential here and we have a lot going on. and it's going to be dynamic and community's going to get a lot of great wins out of this. So I'm just really looking forward to, you know, my time here and really wish we could just jump into the future and see what that's going to look like, because I think it's really going to be wild, the stuff that we can accomplish.